Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God. Welcome to this month's new series. As you listen, may you be blessed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Let's go to our foundational scripture, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to read from the New Living Translation. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt to my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You see, the very question, even the tone of the question, how have we ever shown contempt to your name? The question in itself already tells you the attitude of the people he was referring to. But we are using this verse as our foundational verse for the series of October, leading us to this beautiful time we're going to have with our Father in the ministry on the 3rd of November, so that before we even reach there, there's so much work that God will have done in our hearts in preparation. Because truly, it has to be a service of honor. So our key line or sentence is, a son honors his father. Then the second key line is, if I am your father, where is the honor and respect I deserve? Those are the two lines that we're going to be working with. But let's begin this morning. By the way, today is our communion service. So at the end of the service, we're going to partake of the communion. Don't mind that I'm not wearing star black today. Look, I don't like the fact that you're asking such questions. Why is Pastor not wearing star black? I don't like that question. You are like the people that God is saying here, a son honors the father, and they are asking, where did we ever show contempt? What is honor? Honor is high respect. High respect. Not just respect. High respect. So when you say, I highly respect this person, you are basically saying, I honor the person. To highly respect somebody, to greatly esteem somebody. So you see, before honor becomes physical, where you bow or you give gifts and all of that, which is an aspect of honor which we're going to look into during the month. But before it even gets to that, you see that it is first and foremost a high respect. Usually, before a respect becomes physical, it is first internalized. Like, it is how you feel about a person, which even explains the esteem. You cannot show the esteem. It's something that, it's how you are thinking about a person. It's how you are feeling about a person. It's the place you have given the person in your heart. So long before honor becomes physical, material, it first begins in this foundation, that it must come from the foundation of respect and high esteem that you have towards a person. So when Malachi is asking here, he says, if I am your father, where is the high respect and the great esteem that I deserve? Where is it? Now, I want to mention something quickly to you. It takes much more than determination and hard work to succeed in life. It takes much more than that. Like, I'm not against determination. I'm a very determined person myself. I'm not against hard work. I like working hard myself. But I just want to submit something to you that I have discovered over the course of my life, that actually it takes much more than that for you to succeed. It takes much more than that. As 1 Samuel 2 verse 9, it says, he will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. No one will succeed by strength alone. Now, God is not against strength causing success. He is rather saying that strength alone is not enough to succeed. What is strength? Money is strength. I've thought about this before. Relationships are strength. Your education is strength. The qualifications that you have acquired over the years are a form of strength. Your skill is a strength. Your connections are a strength. Now, the word says you don't succeed with those strengths alone. And I'm sure you will agree with me that you might know somebody, or you know somebody who knows somebody who has strength, but who is still a failure. Metric is a strength. But do you know how many matriculants cannot show anything for that strength? Beauty is a strength. Elegance, eloquence, all those are strength. But don't you know of people that are very beautiful, but it has amount to not much? It hasn't amount to much. The family background is a strength. But even Prince Harry's, he's been going through all kinds of problems in this life, even though he's coming from the royal family, it hasn't helped him at all. It hasn't helped him. There are hidden reasons behind people with strength not prevailing. There are hidden reasons. One of the things that God has given me as an assignment is an eye into hidden reasons why you will have this and still not have this. And most of my ministry has been about exposing, like lifting the veil on some of these things that to cause you to actually, maybe this could be one of the missing links. And one of those hidden reasons behind a strong man, a strong woman, still being a failure is what we call dishonor. Dishonor. Oh, yes. Dishonor is the hidden reason behind many strong men and women failing. Even though they have all their goods in place, they are still not breaking forth. Something called dishonor. That is very subtle, very hidden at times. Sometimes when it has happened, you might not even be aware that dishonor just took place. Yet the consequences are devastating. They are devastating. And I want to show you a verse or a couple of verses to emphasize this point to you. Genesis 49, verse 3 to 4. The Bible says, Reuben, you are my firstborn. This is Jacob blessing his 12 sons before he departs. So he asks all of them to gather, that he will tell them what will happen to each one of them. All the 12 gathered before him. And this is the prophecy of Jacob to his firstborn, the very first one he ever had. So he says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength. Like, you represent the beginning of my strength. He says, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power This is Reuben. Reuben epitomized dignity and he exemplifies strength and power. But when you look at Reuben, the first thing you will see is dignity. The next thing you see is power. But now he mentions, you are unstable as water. With your dignity and your power, he says you are unstable as water. Then he nails it, he says, you shall not excel. How can I be? I've got dignity. I am the beginning of your strength. And I am the excellency of power. Yet I shall not excel. Now he gives the explanation. He says you shall not excel. Why? Because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. You went up to my couch. Are you with me? He is telling Reuben, why is it that even though you represent power, even though you represent dignity, even though you represent strength, you will not excel? And the reason you will not excel is because there's something dishonorable that you did. And the thing Reuben did was, Reuben went for Jacob's wife, one of his wives, and slept with her. And you see, that act that took place somewhere in the corner there became the reason why the power of Reuben will not work. It became the reason why the dignity of Reuben will not prevail. It became the reason why Jesus Christ did not come from the lineage of Reuben. David is not from the lineage of Reuben. Nothing. There's nobody of valor in the tribes of Israel that is a Reubenite. Not one. That you cannot mention to me. I do not remember. Even Saul, the first king, was a Benjamite. Not a Reubenite. You shall not excel. You shall not excel. And the reason you shall not excel is because you have dishonored your father. You have dishonored your father. And that dishonor has neutralized your power. It has neutralized all your gifts. It has neutralized your qualifications. It has neutralized everything you have. And you are not excelling. Meanwhile, you have the capacity. Am I talking to somebody here today? I'm trying to show you how the hidden reasons catch up with us. How they catch up with us. No wonder Paul recommended this to the Ephesian church. 6:2-3. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, I like the NLT part of it. He says, if you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you. Things will go well. I think this is the English we all understand. Because when they say, it shall be well with you, it's something like, what do you mean? I talk about my health. No, things will go well with you. Anything that you get involved with will go well. You apply for a job, it goes well. You apply for anything, it goes well. You start a relationship, it goes well. Things start going well with a person who has a foundation of honor. Not a foundation of big degrees. That is what Reuben had. But his foundation of big degrees was spoiled because of dishonor. Then it says, and you will have a long life on the earth. That is your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May things go well with each one of you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And may God reveal to you this morning, wherever dishonor has managed to infiltrate itself, and you maybe didn't even realize it, you were not aware of it, or you didn't take it as a very important matter. Because you think about it, Jacob had a lot of wives. You might think that maybe it was just one of the concubines or one of the girls, you know, some of those maid servants that he used to get from time to time. So Reuben probably thought, my father has so many. I mean, what is the use? And he probably thought, it's not even really his wife. It is the maid of his wife. Today's message. Those who uncover their fathers. Those who uncover their fathers. And I pray that you shall never be one of those who uncover. You uncover your father. You uncover. You want to see the bad things inside there. Or you are more aware of the bad things. You know, whenever you are aware of the negative, you are those who uncover. Those who uncover their fathers. That's who they are. Come with me to the word of God, Genesis chapter 9, from verse 18. The Bible says, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah. And from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Listen to me. The people that are on earth today are all from these three people. So, you know, it is true that we should talk about Adam and Eve. Yeah, that's the foundation. But the second foundation is after the flood. After the flood, three men brought forth what you see today in the world. And your ancestor is one of these three guys. There's no way that you keep saying your ancestor is Adam and Eve. You now need to reduce it to one of these three. And the happenings of your life and my life are connected to one of these three guys. Either is Ham, either is Shem, or either is Japheth. But I don't think our story is different here, because if you keep reading, you quickly understand who is Ham. The Bible says Ham is the father of Ethiopia and Libya and Sudan. So as soon as you hear those three names, you already know that the man is an African. I'm just saying. Verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his brothers outside. Please understand, Noah was inside, naked, inside his tent. And if that matter had remained an inside matter, you wouldn't have had a problem. It's not like Noah took himself outside to expose himself. Number one, the Bible says he was in his tent. So, precious people, it was not like today where you have a house where there are four bedrooms. In these days, everybody has their tent. We build tents. So if Noah has four sons, it means there were four tents. I mean, the three sons, there were four tents. I mean, a tent for him, a tent for Ham, a tent for Shem, and a tent for Japheth. You ask me a question. How did he see his father uncovered? Probably because the father was just there in the house. No, it was not a house. It was a tent. And the father has his tent. Just like your father has his life, his realities, which are very different from your life and your realities. Your realities, you haven't checked them for the past 5 years, but you keep reminding yourself of your father's realities. You'll be surprised that before God, your father looks better before God than you do. You'll be surprised. So Noah is in his tent. Brothers and sisters, if I'm in my bedroom, I think that's the only place where I have a bit of freedom. I can do my own thing. I mean, how many of you, you are very civilized in your bedroom. You are very political in your bedroom. When you are in your bedroom, you go all out. You become Adam and Eve put together with the holy angels watching. Everything is there. I mean, if we actually become very honest, Noah was very, very modest here. Some of the things that you are doing in your bedroom are worse than what Noah did here. If you can be honest with ourselves. Why? Because it is your bedroom. You are in your space. Noah was in his space, brothers. The problem of Ham starts because he has left his tent and has gone to his father's tent. And every time you leave your place, you leave your area of influence, you leave the position God gave you, and you jump to another person's position, you're going to create problems. You're going to create problems. Our problem here is that we don't recognize where we belong. Takes a lot of familiarity to enter your father's tent without knocking. Takes a lot of familiarity. So you can learn that this is not the first instance of dishonor. There were many things that Ham used to do. He used to take his father's stuff without asking for permission. He used to receive father's things from his father without saying thank you. He used to do so many things. So he became like familiar with his father. That's the only time you will enter your father's room and not knock. So there was no foundation of honor as far as Ham was concerned. Noah was his buddy. Noah was his friend. That's why he had this type of thing. So you see, you must always know that there are many things that precede an action. And even you look at the judgment that fell on him, you will ask, just something like that. I mean, you get punished like this. No, it was not just something like that. You see, if you check deeper that action, you will realize that it's connected to many other things that Noah kept stomaching. Noah kept accepting. Noah kept reducing. Noah kept overlooking. But now it was too much. It was not too much. It was not too much. Precious people, you'll be surprised that many times your father knows things you are doing, but he doesn't say anything. Your mother knows things you are saying, but she doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean they are not aware. They are fully aware of what you are doing. They're just giving you grace and mercy. They just don't want to act or react on what you are doing. But don't keep pushing it. Because you might push it and it will be the last push. It will be the last push. And that is what happened with Ham here. He thought just like the other times, he will dishonor his father and get away with murder. But this time was different. This time he had gone further. Further. He entered his father's tent without knocking. And he took information from the tent outside the tent. This is when you take your father's condoms and you start showing to your friends. These are the things my father is using. You take your father's things in the room and you start showing your friends. That is what Ham is doing. To show you the disrespect. Not only to enter his room, but to collect things from the room and bring them outside. Children that take their mother's clothes and wear, hide the mother's clothes and go and wear them and go to party and bring them back. You steal things from your father's house and go and use outside. It's dishonor of the highest order. So Ham saw his father naked, didn't keep it to himself, went and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. And that is where you're getting my title for today. Those who uncover. And next week, we're going to look into those who cover. And I pray that you will join me again as we look into that aspect. But today, let's just explore the uncovering. Those who uncover, which is the Hamites. Their faces were turned the other way so that they will not see their father naked. I mean, they were determined. They entered backward and not like, I'm checking. No, they are looking this way. Whatever I hit, let me hit it. But I will not see my father's nakedness. Now, it shows you something. Why would two take such precautions to not see their father's nakedness? Yet another one just does it freely. So I'm trying to show you that the other one had gone out of control. Like, why is it that the other two took so many precautions? Because they knew what it meant. You're not supposed to do that. But why was it so easy for him to do? Because he did so many things like that before. He raised his voice to his father many times before. Then the other question I'm asking myself, what is he doing in the tent when the other two brothers are outside? Why are they two outside and he is alone? Why is he lonely? Why is he alone? Do you see what I'm talking about? There's a problem here that he doesn't flow with the other two brothers. Maybe they picked up over time that this guy, something is wrong with this guy. They started distancing themselves from him. They started distancing themselves from him. 24. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Curse be Canaan. The lowest of slaves he will be to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be the God, the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be his slave. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be the slave of Japheth." I think the only curse that can be close to this one is the curse God pronounced over Eli and his children. Those are like the top curses of the Bible. Like Noah rearranged destinies. He says that this one, his territory will expand. This one will stay in the tent of this one, but this particular one will be their slave of both of them. What that is telling us today. And you see, I think after that, the life continued as normal. They continued. Maybe even him came and apologized and all of that, but it was done. And forever, those words have followed certain people. In a very shocking and mysterious way, those words of Noah have followed a particular group. And today, that group tries to honor, that group is always the one bowing, that group is always the one rolling. That is too late. The other groups are full of pride. They are top like this. Nothing is happening to them. See, when you needed to be humble, when you needed to be honorable, you didn't do it. Now later you want to do it. It's too late. Let's be careful with those in authority. Romans 13 verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authorities come from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God." Do you understand the scripture? I feel like reading it again for us. Eh? Romans 13 verse 1. Everyone. How many? Everyone. Tell your neighbor, including you. The Bible is talking about you. Everyone must, not might, not may, must. It's a must. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. This thing we have that nobody controls you, nobody talks to you. It's a setup for dishonor and for a lot of other problems. Everyone. So there shouldn't be anybody watching me today or listening to me that is beyond this verse. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God, not by Pastor Pascal. Listen, the band doesn't say by play the by their pastor. No, by God. By God. If you knew who placed the person that you are dishonoring where they are, I think it will change the whole view, because you need to remember that we are not the same. And this is why dishonor happened, because him thought, who is Noah? I know this guy. We are not the same. Psalm 75 verse 7, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. We are not the same. If some people will rise and others will fall, it already tells you people are not the same. They are not. They are not the same. So you should learn to have the right attitude towards those that God has lifted. And what is that attitude? The same Romans 13 verse 7 tells us, it says, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Give them respect and honor. Like, that is what you owe those in authority. Respect and honor. And when you fail to do that, you didn't fail to do that to them. You failed to do that to the one who placed them there. Matthew 10:40, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. So when you disrespect a governing authority, you are not disrespecting the governing authority. You are actually disrespecting the person who sent him there, which is God. Which is God. 1 Samuel 8 verse 7, and the Lord said to Samuel, hear the voice of the people in all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God was saying to Samuel, look, don't get mad that these people are asking for a king. They are not rejecting you as their prophet. It is me they are rejecting as their God. It is me they are rejecting. So be careful when a person is sent to you, a person is supposed to lead you, and you are always resisting the person, you are always making decisions that make the person feel that they can never lead you. It's very dangerous. Because you will never know when you are now fighting God directly. If Noah was not in a position of authority, his words would mean nothing. He could have said those things and people are going to continue enjoying themselves. But you see, a man in authority can say one word and that word will catch up with you. That's why they are dangerous. That's why you should learn, that's why you should be careful how you behave around them. Now you will agree, Noah was wrong to be naked, but he didn't do it outside. He was in his room. Ham was wrong for going there, and Ham was wrong for taking that information outside. He was wrong. And we are paying for it today. As I close, let's quickly look at prophets without honor. Leaders without honor. People that God has placed in position of authority, yet they are not being honored. And the dangers that will come from there. Mark 6:1-6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. did this man get these things? They are not even saying, where did Jesus get this thing? Where did this man get this man get these things? Who is this? They ask, what's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? Not Joseph, so Mary's son. She is the only one who knows where she brought this guy from. And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Aren't his sisters here with us? So many questions. I mean, this is about 5 or 6 questions that are asked about one person. Then they didn't stop. They took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, and this is what I want you to remember. A prophet, a leader, a father, a mother, a boss, a manager, a pastor, a husband, a grandfather, is not without honor except. It's not like the person is dishonorable. It's not like the person doesn't deserve honor. It's not that like honor cannot be bestowed on the person. No, there's actually a lot of honor on the person. The problem is there is a particular place or particular places where when he is there, it doesn't happen. The honor doesn't happen. So this particular person in authority is not without dishonor except in this place. In that way, if you take him out of these places, you'll be amazed how much honor he will get. What are those places? Number one, his own town. Number two, among his relatives. Number three, in his own house. This is quite shocking because these are the very same places where you would think those things are supposed to happen 100%. But this is exactly the places where it doesn't happen. Now, as a result of that, the Bible says in verse 5, Jesus could not do any miracles there. Could do nothing. Except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. It's a very shocking verse. A few sick people. He lay his hand like, as he is passing, he just touched a few. If not even a lot, just a few. Maybe 3 or 4. And then he moved. Dishonor neutralizes power. We saw it in the case of Reuben. We are saying it in case in Puente, in Jesus' life, where people dishonored him by questioning his background, his nativity, his legitimacy, and they entered into his personal life and started asking personal questions, and that blocked his power. He could dare do no mighty work. How many CEOs are blocked? They could never become a CEO because he is forever in his home, at home, where his power is broken. He is reminded that he is nothing. How many pastors will never become mega pastors? Because of how things are at home. As I close, there are some people that are more prone to dishonoring. The first group are those who are the closest to the leader. As a matter of fact, the closer you are to the leader, you must really check yourself, because it seems to me, as I observe that, it's that the closer you are, the more chances of dishonor. Because if I get closer, I will start smelling how you smell. I can even smell your breath. I can smell your armpit. I can smell so many things the closer I am to you. And all of those are occasions and opportunity to dishonor. So the closer you are, the more you must be careful. The closer you are. The second group, those that are far. The closer you are, the easier it is to be disloyal, the easier it is to be familiar, then the further you are also, the further you are. And when you are very far, you are disconnected. You don't understand the decisions that are being taken. And you can easily rebel against them. You can easily find that, no, but me, I'm here. Nobody cares about what is going on here. They are just deciding there. This and this and this and that. So the further away you are also in trouble. Another group, the longer you stay around the anointed, even though it is a good thing to be there forever, but another problem rises over time, is that the longer you are, the more you will start seeing. And before you realize, everything just becomes normalized for you. But the closer you are, the further you are, the longer you are. So let's put names to these people. Who are the people that are the closest to being prone to this? Number one, wives. Wives. As true as it is that behind every successful man, there is a woman, it is equally true that behind a lot of unsuccessful men, a lot of men that will never amount to much, is women. It's wives. Yeah. Because she's closest to you. I think apart from your wife is your mother that will know you that much. The details. Your weak points, everything. This person sleeps in the same bed with you. They see where, they know every part of your body. So with time, if there's no grace, if there's no mercy from God, they will shift and start relating with you based on the information they now have. That this guy is not that a big deal. That is not even such a big deal after all. That's why people don't know. That's why they're bowing this and all. I mean, this is not even a big deal. Ephesians 5:33, the Bible says, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Why am I mentioning this verse? Even though the Bible talks of the husband loving his wife, the Bible doesn't say that the wife must respect the wife. But it says, the husband must respect the wife, but it says the wife must respect her husband. So, you see, I'm dealing with honor here. The reason the Bible says this is because, in truly indeed, not all women, after discovering the man, will continue respecting him. Because they are the closest. So they get to see a lot. And it becomes difficult for them to keep this awe that they had when they didn't know so much. When they didn't know your debts, when they didn't know your weaknesses, when they didn't know this about you, when they didn't know that about you, they were so honorable. They respected you. But now that they have come to your couch and they now know everything about you, it takes another level for them to continue honoring you. They will tolerate you. They will stay in the marriage for one reason or the other. But the aspect of honor, high respect, high esteem might dwindle by the day until everything is normalized. Your foot is served now normally. You are spoken to normally. Everything is done normally. And because you yourself, you know, you are always with yourself. So you accept it because, you don't see anything wrong with it. Because you have been with this person for so long. So you even forget that actually there's another aspect that you don't get anymore. Until you go to visit a person that actually holds you in high regards. Then you see another thing. Hey, this is how men start cheating sometimes. Because at home, some women take it further. They actually start demeaning you. Not even tolerating you. They start tackling you on. They take you on before the children. They take you on before your family members. Then you just go outside and you find another person that they don't know those things about you yet. So they still hold you in high regard. So wise is the wife that despises her knowledge of her husband's inadequacies, shortcomings, doesn't turn into a fault-finding wife, a cantankerous wife. But she becomes a covering for him. Those who cover. We'll talk about that next week. Not those who uncover. Second Samuel 6, verse 16. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. First of all, she didn't come to the parade. I asked why. Everybody is in the street, dancing and rejoicing. You are in the house upstairs, watching from a window. It's amazing how those that are doing something are punished by those that are doing nothing. It's amazing how the person that is actually trying to get something going, gets shouted at, gets accused, is the one who gets the beatings over a person who did nothing, who was just watching. Michal, the whole city is in the street praising God for the ark. You are in your room watching. And when she's soaking, David leaping and dancing before the Lord, the Bible says, listen, she despised him in her heart. And you see, that is where honor and dishonor happens. Not what you are showing outside. The place where it happens is inside, in the heart. The Bible says she despised him in her heart. In her heart. One day your husband will do something and you say, ah, what was that? If God doesn't help you, you will despise him in your heart. And it is a matter of time, it will show outside. Like later she took him on and she paid for it. The second group that is most prone to dishonoring those in authority, children. Children. I can give you thousands of them. The prodigal son dishonored his father. Absalom dishonored his father. The child, the two children, the father says, go to the field. He said, I will not go. He dishonored his father. Ham dishonored his father. I can go on and on and on and show you how children are prone. That's why the Bible says, children, honor. Why? Because the natural inclination of a child is to dishonor his father, is to dishonor his mother. That's why the Bible, you see, whenever the Bible tells you to do something, because the Bible is making you aware that you are actually more prone to do the reverse. Like naturally, you will not go that way, you will go this way. Children, children, spiritual children, ministry children, biological children, stepchildren, they are more prone to dishonor. So if you happen to be a child, be careful. If you happen to be a wife, be careful. Those are positions of dishonor usually. Number three, siblings, brothers and sisters. The siblings of Moses dishonored him. The siblings of Joseph dishonored him. The siblings of Jesus dishonored him. The siblings of Gideon dishonored him. The siblings of David dishonored him. The siblings of Saul dishonored him. I'm telling you that if you happen to be a sibling, you might easily dishonor the chosen one. Easily. Easily. It takes a certain heart to be a sibling of a person God has chosen and to keep the honor in place. Even though you know he is your brother, but you don't allow yourself to forget that even though you came from the same womb, people are not the same. People are not the same. I think I'm talking to myself on this one. People are not the same. Number four, assistants at all level. People that assist other people. Assistant this, deputy this, assistants. Matthew 26, verse 23. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. He was talking about Judas. You see, Judas was his assistant, but Judas became very familiar. You know, in natural, if I'm eating with my disciples and I stretch my hand in the plate, naturally, everybody has to wait first. I have put my hand. When I bring my hand back, then you can put your hand. Not Judas. Oh. As Jesus is dipping the hand in the bowl, Judas is also dipping at the same time. That him and Jesus are dipping at the same time. That's why Jesus used it as a sign that the one who has dipped his hand with me. As I'm dipping my hand, the bread in the juice or whatever, he's also doing it at the same time. Equalization. We are partners. We are the same. Then to understand that action, you need to go to David. David explains it better in Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. This was the prophecy of Judas, prophesied by David. But he says, my familiar friend, who ate my bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me. I think the day Jesus told the disciples, I don't call you servants anymore, I'll call you friends. He said, I don't know why it took you so long to realize it. We are the same level here. I mean, Jesus is saying it on a certain level, but Judas picked it up. Actually, I've been meaning to tell you that what you do, we are also doing now. We are the same. I see you dissociating yourself, receiving wisdom from God to not become those who uncover their fathers, those who uncover their husbands, those who uncover their pastors, those who uncover their leaders. Because there are only two groups, those who cover and those who uncover. You are one of them. You are one of the two. And this morning, I'm talking about those who uncover, those who expose. You see, I want to tell you something. Have you noticed that people who expose other people's mistakes barely ever say anything good? Like, it becomes difficult to hear anything good coming from them. Like, it even sounds funny if they ever say something good. Like, it will sound like it's like how do you call this? Like they are being, there's a word. You know, like it's not real. It's not real. Yeah. When you start the negative, you see, you have chosen a side. It will be very difficult for you to come and give the positive. It will even look very unreal of you. So when newspapers have decided to nail you, that's all they will do. They will just be nailing you. Like even when they say something good about you, nobody will believe it. Nobody will believe it. So they just keep saying the wrong things. When you go around exposing your husband, just know that you will never come and say anything good. Nobody will believe you. You have to keep that narrative. Once you start exposing your church, you start telling that your church is this, that's all people will hear. And if you can never come back tomorrow and say, but actually that church is good, nobody will listen to you. That's why it is important and wise to decide now which group you're going to belong to. Those who cover or those who uncover. I pray for you that starting this morning, you become one of those who cover. Those who cover. Pastor, so we must. I'm going to talk about those who cover next. So you will see that it doesn't mean you overlook things. There's a way God told us to address matters. There's a way to address matters. But this issue of going around exposing people that are not at your level, you are causing a harm to yourself and to the generations coming behind you. Sow from today a seed of honor. The Lord says in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor. So honor is always a resultant effect of those who have sown that seed. So those who dishonor get dishonor. And those who honor get honor. choose well. Because I tell you something, honor is nice. Dishonor is terrible. Don't just go around giving it to people. Know that it will also come to you. Yeah. Well, let's stand on our feet this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to correct us, to direct us, to encourage those of us that have been doing the right things. It can never be enough. We can never say we have understood this. Every year we need to remind ourselves, I need to fix here. Or maybe I've gone out of control here. Or maybe I began to go out of control here. Maybe I'm too close and I've become too familiar because I'm closer. So I get to see things. I stop honoring. I stop giving. I stop respecting. I stop doing the things that brought me where I am. I stop doing them. Father, forgive us today. Forgive us today. Somebody is praying that prayer. Maybe you want to go before God and ask for grace and mercy. This is the right time to ask for mercy. Meaning you deserve a judgment, but may God spare you from the judgment. May God rather show you mercy. May God rather show all of us mercy today. And may God give you opportunities of honor. May you receive opportunities to honor your father. Opportunities to honor them. To really show what is in your heart. Not what Satan has caused you to do. But now you're also going to get an opportunity to honor your mother. To do the right thing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, this morning we honor you as our God. We honor you as our King. We choose to follow you and worship you and serve you. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us the spirit of honor. Father, let that spirit visit Allah Bible Church. Let this honor be broken to the back. Let this honor be dismantled in this ministry. Let there be honor in the churches, in the branches, in the homes, in the lives of the members of this church. May the curse of dishonor never find us. Deliver us from this destruction. Deliver us from these devils. Jesus says, I do not have a demon. I honor my Father. Father, deliver us from the demons of dishonor. The demons of dishonor that have come to sit on the children of the last days and turn them into ungrateful, ungrateful, unthankful devils. Set us free, Father. Set us free, Father. Polama, Saparamadora, Shakante Prelaba, Sipenematola, Asekate Peledaya. Father, any seed of dishonor in my spirit, any rebellion against authority, any adverse attitude and predisposition against those in authority, Father, deliver me from it. Deliver me from it. Cause me to be a good person to lead. That my leader will always talk good of me. My those above me will always say good things about me. I give you praise. I give you thanks. Let your word restore us. Let your word bless us. In the name of Jesus. If you are not born again this morning, the greatest honor you can bring to the Father is by accepting His Son, Jesus Christ. And the greatest dishonor you can bring to the Father is by rejecting the gift He sent you. Nothing is more dishonoring than being given a gift and you send it back. You don't like it. The Bible says God so loved you that He sent you a gift in a human form, a human body called Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in that gift shall not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, I'm asking you, do you honor God? And if you honor God, you prove your honor to God by accepting gladly the gift of His Son. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at the count of three, you can raise your right hand. One, two, three, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You want you to commit your life to Jesus today? You want to break the altar of dishonor and like Elijah, rebuild the right altar of honor unto God where you can commune with God and when you can do business with God again and fire can truly come from heaven and burn the sacrifice? I want you to commit my life to Jesus. at the count of three, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. I want you to commit. God bless you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, restoring me, for saving me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.